photos distributed by Israeli authorities showed a man in a prayer shawl lying dead, a bloody butcher's cleaver on the floor, and prayer books covered in blood. Prayer books. Prayer books. Think about that. Now, they called this a Torah facility. There's no prayer books in the Torah. No prayers in the Torah. No encouragement to pray in the Torah. They had prayer books. Who do you think wrote the prayers? When you're reading a prayer from book, are you communicating with God? I think not. I think you're simply reciting with some other religious idiot. Wanted you to know or think or believe. That's what you're reading and communicating with God. When you're reading a prayer from a book, you're reading in the case of Judaism, you're really reading a religious proposition. You're reading the words of a hypocrite, someone that God disdains. Went so far as to say that the prayers of those who are Torahless, which would be all rabbinic Jews, all Christians, all Muslims, are an abomination, repulsive to him. So keep that in mind. Doesn't mean that the person should have been butchered, knifed to death, but it is worth stating. We are viewing this as a terrorist attack, said police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld. I mean, why is labeling it a terrorist attack meaningful? I mean, it was savage. It was murderous. But why is the tactic even relevant? I mean, I ask you, why is it relevant? Should the authorities say we're viewing this as a religious attack? That would be relevant. We're viewing this as an Islamic attack? Oh, that would be instructive. But to say that it was a terrorist attack is meaningless. You know, when an armed individual goes and kills unarmed individuals that they do not know, for a political or religious purpose, it is an act of terrorism. Okay, it's obvious. What do we gain by you having it labeled? It is such. Nothing. Why not use descriptive terms in a way that enlightens, in a way that informs, in a way that benefits us? Anyway, Mickey Rosenfeld, who confirmed the four dead and the two assailants, both of them from Muslim East Jerusalem, had been shot dead by the police. Israel's ambulance service said at least eight people were seriously wounded in the attack. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Boy, there's a name out of the past. That was a name that became popular in the 1960s and 1970s and even through the 1980s. It is an Islamic group that was fought right on alongside the PLO. It said that it carried out the attack, which it called a heroic operation. Yep. Now, first of all, there is no place called Palestine, so you know that you are automatically jaundiced the moment that you try to liberate a place that does not exist. And the moment that you suppose that Israel needs to be liberated of Israelis, then you're also jaundiced. So we know that the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, in their verb and in their noun, in their name, are completely out of touch with reality. So the next question becomes, are they popular? Well, as the Popular Front, no, they're not. They're not popular. It's a very small, small, unpopular organization. Heroic. Walking into a religious environment where people are armed with prayer shawls and prayer books, with a gun and a meat cleaver, If that's heroic, if that's a strategic operation, then there's something desperately wrong with the organizers and the perpetrators. It's cowardly. It's repulsive. Israeli police and the U.S. State Department identified one of the dead as Rabbi Twersky, who taught at a Jerusalem seminary. Twersky was from a Hadassic rabbinical dynasty. Hadassic, the super Orthodox Jews, that the ones that if I were to see, I'm repulsed by. They turn my stomach. Now, again, you want to be a ultra-Orthodox Jew? You want to dress up as a, like, in your little religious outfit? That's your business. That's your choice. But don't expect me to respect you for doing so, because I'm not. I'm disgusted by you. He was grandson of a renowned Boston rabbi who died in 1993. Twersky and two other victims, Kupinski and Levine, were U.S. citizens, according to the State Department and Israeli police, which said they were also Israeli nationals. The British Israeli killed in the attack was named by police as Goldberg. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry described the attack as pure terror. In other words, he's as uninformative, as useless, as the Israeli police. No. To say it was pure Islamic, informative. Pure religious, informative. But to call it terror is a waste of breath. Israeli Internal Security Minister Yossik Aronovich said that he was seeking a partial easing of gun controls so that military officers and security guards could carry weapons while off duty. The Palestinian radio described the attackers as martyrs, and the Islamic group Hamas praised the attack. Large speakers at a mosque in Gaza called out congratulations, and youngsters handed out candy in the streets. Should I read that again, or did it sink in? Palestinian radio, this would be Muslim radio, described the attackers as martyrs. These are ruthless, barbarian murderers. And the Islamist group Hamas praised the attack. Hamas is the political and the religious and the militia representative of the Muslims who masquerade as Palestinians. It's not just in Gaza, by the way. The last time they had a free election in the West Bank, Hamas won the vast majority of votes. Hamas is more popular even in the West Bank than the PLO, than Fatah. That's the reality of it. Hamas represents the mindset of Muslims. And so here is Hamas doing the opposite of what any sane, responsible group would do. Any sane, any moral group, having heard about two religious zealots that walk into a house of prayer and hack eight people, mutilating them, and then hack to death and blow out the brains of four more, attacking unarmed individuals whom they don't even know with a butcher knife and with a gun, and you praise them, calling them the martyrs. You're sick. I mean, this notion that we gave as the West and America $6 billion to these perverts recently as a reward for them savagely attacking Israel. It's pathetic. The fact that the United States wants a two-state solution to reward these perverts, these savages, These absolutely insane religious zealots with their own country. It's ludicrous. You know, here's the President of the United States said, well, we condemn this, obviously, in the strongest terms. And we call on both sides, the Palestinians and the Israelis, to refrain from aggression. Come on. But when you make that kind of statement, you show just how jaundiced you are. The Israelis didn't waltz into a mosque with a machete and a bazooka and blow Muslims to pieces. The Muslims did this. And by the way, it's not even the same thing. If tomorrow, if later today, if next week, two Jews do walk into a mosque and they perpetrate a similar crime, it isn't similar because it then is cause and effect. You know, in many places in the world, like in Nigeria, there's groups of Christians now that are armed as militias to attack Muslims, to keep them at bay. Because Muslims have kidnapped, have raped, have tortured, and murdered so many Christians that, and their government's unable to protect them, that they've gone this route. You know, if you look at the animus in Christians in the Sudan, where the Islamic government in the Sudan murdered 2.5 million of them over the course of 25 years, the victims became thugs in response. But it's still not tit for tat. It's not comparable because it's cause and consequence. So Muslim Radio described the attackers as martyrs, and the Islamist group Hamas praised the attack. Loudspeakers from the mosque in Gaza called out congratulations, and youngsters handed out candy in the streets. I've said, and I will repeat, Islam needs to be exposed. It needs to be condemned. It needs to be isolated. It needs to be quarantined. We ought not be giving these Muslims large sums of money. We ought not be providing them with weapons. We ought not be affording them with states. Hamas calls for the continuation of revenge operations and stresses that Israeli occupation bears responsibility for tension in Jerusalem. Hamas spokesperson Sami Abu Zuhri said, the world would be better off if he were dead. The world would be better off if every Hamas leader and participant were dead. The world would be better off if every Islamic State participant and jihadist were dead. The world would be better off if every Islamic fundamentalist were dead. When you talk about the savage, unprovoked murders of these four individuals at point-blank range and at butcher knife range as a revenge operation, your whole view of the world is upside down, backwards. And you have no capacity whatsoever to think. You're nothing but a liability. And if you marry this inability to be able to understand what's happening around you with a propensity to inspire savage behavior, as is happening with this Islamic spokesperson, then you're dangerous. You're counterproductive. You're a blight on this planet. Imagine that Israeli occupation of Israel is considered motivation. I mean, I don't think you could find a people or a place with more history. Not if you tried. Nor people or place more deserving to be together. Not if you tried. I mean, how will tell you that Europeans and Americans don't belong? They stole it from the native peoples that were here. The same thing is true with the Europeans in South America. That was stolen too. You know, the same thing is true with Arab Muslims throughout Northern Africa, throughout Central Africa, throughout Eastern Africa, throughout Persia, throughout Asia. Won't belong there either. But Jews in Israel? Israelis in Israel. Of course. The synagogue attack came a day after a Palestinian bus driver was found hanged in his vehicle in Jerusalem. He committed suicide. But, you know, not in the world of the upside-down, incapacitated, jaundiced, and poisoned minds of Muslims. This was an attack that was perpetrated by Israelis. Yeah, the Israelis, they probably have a secret death ray that scrambles the brains of Muslims and causes them to want to commit suicide. Yeah, it's probably the Quran. Read it and you want to tear out your own eyes. You want to hang yourself. You know, there's no hope in Islam. There's no love in Islam. There's no reason to live in Islam. So Muslims commit suicide. You know, when they commit suicide on their own and they only take their own lives, great. At least they wasn't a suicide bomber. Netanyahu said the synagogue attack was the result of incitement by Hamas and Abbas. We will respond with a heavy hand to the brutal murder of Jews who came to pray and were killed by lowly murderers, he said. You know, they'll bulldoze the homes from which these two cousins came. At a meeting of Parliament's Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, Cohen, head of the Internal Shin Bet Security Service, that's like their CIA, except they actually have human operatives in the enemy's camp, appeared to take a softer line toward Abbas, saying he was not espousing terror. But Cohen added, there are those in the Palestinian public who might interpret his comments as a legitimization for terrorist attacks. Violence in Jerusalem, areas of Israel, and the Israeli-occupied Palestinian territories. There's no such thing as an Israeli-occupied territory, nor is there such a thing as a Palestinian territory, has surged in the past month, fueled in part by a dispute over Jerusalem's holiest site. And Abbas has said that Muslims have a right to defend their sacred places.
It is true that several weeks ago, Abbas told Muslims that they should defend their sacred holy places. And the fact is that the Aqsa Mosque and the Shrine of the Hoofy Print, the Dome of the Rock, are Muslim trophies. It was Islam's way of saying, gotcha. And there's no connection between Jerusalem and Islam.
None.
Jerusalem's not even mentioned in the Quran. Muhammad didn't even know the name of the place. His only connection to it is the absolute fabricated myth that he rode a winged ass one night while he was sleeping in the bed beside a 9-year-old girl when he was 53 to it to have a non-existent meeting in a non-existent building. I mean, Jerusalem is a complete and total embarrassment to Islam. And so the mosque that exists there, the shrine that exists there, it's just a Muslim saying, ha, We showed Allahu Akbar, that our God Allah is greater than Yahweh, whose temple was once there. The only reason it exists. And telling Muslims that they should defend it is pathetic. Defend it from what? Jews aren't trying to confiscate it. They should. They should have leveled it. Back in the Six-Day War, when they regained control over Jerusalem, they should have leveled the Dome of the Hoofy Print, the Shrine of the Rock, and Dome of the Rock, and the mosque. Should have leveled them. And should have returned the Temple Mount to a place that people could go visit. I would have loved to have gone there. I couldn't. Instead, Moshe Dayan gave the sites to the Muslims to control. But they weren't not supposed to prevent anybody else from going there, and yet that's what they do. Their big issue now, and the reason they're throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails and explosive devices, is because there's some Jews that are praying there. Oh, forbid. I mean, just give it up. Recognize that Jerusalem is a blight. It's a terrible stain on Islam. Give it up. Go away. Tear down your ridiculous trophies. Go away. Be miserable all by yourselves. Residents traced the violence in Jerusalem to July, when a Palestinian teenager was burned to death by Jewish assailants. And, you know, if you're tracing the violence to that, then you are a moron. And for the journalist to write it, that journalist, he or she is not thinking. The killing of the Palestinian, the mythical Palestinian teenager, was by a mentally ill man. And it occurred after not three, but four Jewish teens, three boys and a girl, were abducted and killed, but not abducted and killed in obscurity, abducted and killed at the encouragement and celebration of Hamas. While the killing of the Muslim was condemned by Israel, and the perpetrator is in jail. They aren't comparable events, and yet that's what's being compared. And the fact is that after the Muslims went and killed the four Jewish American youths, three boys and a girl, then they began to launch terrorist attacks on Israel from Gaza, launching rockets. They started a war. The summer war between Israel and Hamas, according to this article, and the row over access to a Jerusalem compound that is sacred to Muslims and Jews alike, has also triggered the violence. But what the Muslims are saying is, we can build our shrines here. We can worship here in mass. We can do anything we want to do here, including stash weapons here. But if you're a Jew, you can't come up here. You can't pray here. You can't even stand here. Now, if you want to call that a row over access, then so be it. But you're making a fool of yourself. The daughter of a French hostage kidnapped by jihadists in Mali has spoken of her shock after her father appeared in a video clip pleading for his release. The woman told the French radio that she was worried about the health of her 50-year-old father. He was snatched by Islamic jihadists way back in November of 2011 and has been held as a hostage ever since. Why? Because that's what Muslims do. Why? Because that's what Muhammad did. A second hostage, a Dutchman, appeared in the video alongside him. The video of the pair, posted by the Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb, was unearthed by terrorist monitoring site, by the terrorist monitoring group, SITE. unearthed. It wasn't unearthed. It was sent to them. It shows the man, the Frenchman, in a dark headscarf and a thick beard, standing in front of a truck with black jihadist banners behind him, speaking in French. He says that his life is in danger.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's been kidnapped by Muslims. Muslims, however, aren't the only insane people on earth. No, Dateline is Cochrane, California. The Associated Press is reporting that mass murderer Charles Manson plans to marry a 26-year-old woman who left her Midwestern home and spent the past 9 years trying to help him. Afton Elaine Burton is an example of someone not affected by Islam who has lost her mind. She is the bride-to-be, and she says she loves the man that has been convicted of not just murders, but horrific murders, satanic occult murders, a murder of an innocent woman who was pregnant, Sharon Tate. No date has been set, but a wedding coordinator has been assigned by the prison to handle the nuptials. The couple has until early February to get married before they would have to reapply. The Kings County marriage license, viewed on Monday by the Associated Press, was issued on November 7th for the 80-year-old Manson and the 26-year-old Burton. What an idiot. What an absolute idiot. Who now lives alongside the prison.
I love him, she says. I am with him. That's all kind of things.
You know, when you use love in that context, as a 26-year-old girl from the Midwest claiming to love an 80-year-old mass murderer, you haven't a clue what the word means. You ought not say it because you make yourself appear insane. As a life prisoner with no parole, Manson is not entitled to family visits. And so there would be no conjugal visits. So why would Burton marry him under these conditions? She said that she is interested in working on his case, and marrying him would allow her to get information not available to non-relatives. Oh, boy. Tate's sister, Deborah, who acts as a spokesperson for the families of Manson's victims, said the impending marriage was ludicrous. I think it's insane, she said, and I would agree. What would any young woman in her right mind want to do with an 80-year-old man convicted of barbaric murders? Yeah, well, as for Manson's motive, she said, the devil is alive and well. Burton gave an interview a year ago to Rolling Stone magazine in which she said she and Manson planned to marry. But Manson, who became notorious in 1969 as the leader of a roving family of young killers, was less certain about tying the knot. It's a bunch of garbage, Manson said in December of 2013 during the interview. That's just trash. We're playing it out for public consumption. Yeah, well, good for him. Gunman in Saudi Arabia murdered 5 people, the state news agency has reported, in what local residents says was an attack on a Shiite Muslim group worshiping. So in the resolutely Sunni Saudi Arabia, where they have created a proxy army to attack the Shiite government of Syria, they, in their own country, have Sunni Muslims murder Shias. I guess that's consistent.
The Islamic State, seen as more ruthless than Al-Qaeda, says Shiites are infidels who deserve to be killed. But there is no indication the Islamic State committed the act inside of Saudi Arabia. After all, they've seized and controlled large parts of Iraq and Syria, not Saudi Arabia. In Karbala, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims gathered outside the shrine of Imam Hussein, chanting, "Hussein, Hussein, Hussein." Boy, that's pretty great. He died 1,300 years ago. Yeah, he was murdered by Muslims 1,300 years ago. It was a power struggle amongst Muslims as to who would inherit the kingdom of Islam. This murderous kingdom of Islam and Muhammad's ruthless killing machine. And Hussein, who was related to Muhammad, made the claim, and others said, "Nah, we don't think so," and they killed him. So chatting out his name, I'm sure that's going to work out great. Yeah, Hussein is in hell now. I'm sure he can hear them, don't you think? These Shiites, by the way, at the same time, beat their heads in the chest and gnashed their heads with swords. To show their... Yeah, this article mentions the fact that in the past, suicide bombers posing as pilgrims infiltrated large crowds of Shiite Muslims in Iraq. And they fired mortar rounds at those gathering to be pilgrims outside of Karbala. But under Saddam Hussein's secular rule, such gatherings were banned in Iraq, and therefore there was no interreligious rivalry or terror. But since the dictator was toppled by the United States in 2003, the Shiites that have dominated Iraq have resumed their bashing themselves, terrorizing themselves, bashing and gashing their own heads with swords to show their grief, and have been attacked by the Sunnis. One of the great things that America did is unleash a religious war on the Iraqi people. Dateline Baghdad, an Iraqi official and a Sunni tribal leader, say the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria militants have murdered 36 Sunni tribesmen, including women and children, pushing the total number killed by the group's apparent drive to punish a local tribe to 200 just in recent days. In fact, there was a video put out by it, where it was a propaganda video put out by the Islamic State, where they showed their jihadists marching these tribal leaders out of town. And they were Sunni who did not capitulate to them. And they were shown marching them out of town and then either blowing off their heads or decapitating them en masse, all gloating. And among them was Frenchmen and some Brits and the like. Not the killed or the killers. Sheikh Naim al-Gaoud, a senior figure at the Albu Nimr tribe, says that the militant group on Monday killed 29 men, 4 women, and 3 children, lining them up in the village north of Ramadi. He says that they publicly shot each of them dead one by one. Well, yeah. Welcome to the world of Islam. The official with the Anbar governor's office corroborated the account of Monday's killings. Analysts believe that the Islamic State may be trying to take revenge for the tribe's siding with the American forces in the past, as well as Iraqi security forces, which would be with the Shias in the past. The killings also likely will terrify other Sunni tribes so that they won't resist the militants. Yeah, that's the nature of Islam. If you publicly kill men, women, and children, and you execute them horrifically, one after another, and you videotape the entire thing, as the Islamic State recently did, and you broadcast those videos, you have a tendency to cause other people to cower.
That's why people used terrorism. Earlier this week, Human Rights Watch reported that the Islamic State executed 600 Iraqi prison inmates when they seized the country's second largest city of Mosul in June. That's a lot of mass murder there. No matter how efficient you are, you're going to get bloody doing that. On Friday, the Security Council issued a statement expressing deep outrage at the Islamic State killings. Boy, I'm sure that caused them to feel great remorse. Deep outrage at the Islamic State killings, their kidnappings, their rapes, and their tortures in Iraq. All good Islamic behavior, saying the group's action may constitute war crimes and crimes against humanity. However, they're wholly consistent with Sharia law, and ISIS knows it. The Islamic State militants have overrun a large part of the Anbar province in a push to expand their territory across Iraq and Syria. Well, the reason is pretty obvious. Most of those in the Anbar province are Sunni and therefore support to them. Officials with the Iraqi government, as well as officials with the U.S.-led coalition targeting the Islamic State, repeatedly have said that the Iraqi tribes are key elements in the fight against the Islamic State. No, they're not. No, they're not. The Sunni tribes and tribal leaders are the reason the Islamic State is so formidable. The vast preponderance of them have joined the Islamic State, which has given the Islamic State something that no Islamic terrorist organization has possessed for a very long time. The ability to rule over large swaths of land, to govern that area, to marshal actual militaries and use military equipment, not as terrorists, but as a military, to run an economy, all from these leaders.